So the title of this message is Strategically Placed as a Lampstand. And if it sounds familiar, I stole it right out of Pastor Shane's message from last week. I told him I was just going to get up here and say, just go listen to that message again, which I did three times this week. It was just one of those. It was one of those. If you haven't heard it yet, it's actually playing actually right now on our Facebook page. Last week's service plays this week. But it's also, audio version of it is on my Facebook page. If you want to go to it, the audio version is there. It's so good. It's relevant, as is this sort of follow-up continuation. A few highlights for those who weren't here. I'm just going to go through a few highlights of his message, of things he said that build us up to where we're going today. We've become accustomed to a gospel that has no effect on us. We've become accustomed to a gospel that has no effect on us. If that's you today, pay attention to it. It's not a rebuke, but it's a warning. We proclaim Jesus, but have no conviction over sin. We claim his name, but live like the world. We want the kindness of Jesus, but not the severity of Jesus. We want the Jesus who invites his children to sit on his lap, but not necessarily the Jesus who has a sword in his mouth. We want Jesus as the Lamb of God, but not necessarily the Lion of Judah. We like Jesus the Savior, but not so much Jesus the Judge. We've lost sight of how much we need Jesus. There's a section in that message. It's at the 27.56 mark, because I took note of that. And it goes on for until the 31 and 10 second mark, so a little more than 4 minutes, where Pastor Shane passionately and urgently says, "We need him. We need him. You need him," 17 times. He said this, we need him, and we sometimes forget just how much. And then he said this, "I say all this, and I say it humbly, because I believe this body is a lampstand in the presence of the Lord. We've been strategically placed as a lampstand, as beacons of light, the illumination of the kingdom, in the very presence of Jesus himself." And when he said those words, it just pierced through me that we know we, Abundant Life Fellowship, are on assignment. We live life on assignment. And if you're part of this body, you're part of that assignment. And if the Lord has strategically placed us as a lampstand, here's what Holy Spirit began showing me throughout this week, that each one of you is an individual lampstand, a part of the corporate lampstand. That means each one of us shines light wherever we go. Wherever we go. Wherever we happen to be strategically placed on any given day, we are on assignment. And every one of us is a part of the equation. And if we were paying attention to that message, everything about that message was to bring us in line so that we can shine light at its optimal level, the fullness, the brightness, that there's nothing in our walk, nothing in our life that is dimming our light. Because if Tim's light is bright and Mabel's is not, and they're hanging together, somehow Tim's light is going to be a little bit dimmed because they're walking together. And so the whole idea is that our lights shine so brightly that we're being used exactly and only in the ways the Holy Spirit has orchestrated. And Josh even said it when he was shared up here. He said, this body, This body is positioned to go and make a difference. To go and make a difference. And we know this. Now, this isn't a, we don't say that with any sort of pride or any sort of arrogance or any sort of sense of that we have a monopoly on anything. We have a monopoly on nothing. We just want to love Jesus with everything that we have, with every fiber of our being. I wrote this, Abundant Life Fellowship has been strategically placed as a lampstand in New Waterford, Ohio, of all places. Back in the day, Bill Arne, many of you know the name Bill Arne, said, what possible good could come out of New Waterford, Ohio? God had a plan. But we need to corporately and individually repent, turn from, not just say we're sorry and then go on with life as usual, from anything that risks dimming the light. Each one of us has a place in that. So, Pastor Shane read this verse, and I'm going to read it again because it's so important in the context of understanding the risk if we don't respond. The risk if we don't respond. Now, he read the passage from Revelation 2, and in these passages in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, we know we're talking about the seven churches that John had this vision for, to speak these words to. And we know that six of those seven churches all received corrective words. One did not. But the Holy Spirit, speaking through John, spoke all these things. You're doing this well, you're doing this well, you're doing this well, but this you kind of stink at. This you need work on. And so this one in Revelation 2:2-5, this is the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. And he speaks this word to them. And he says, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at the first, from the beginning of your walk. You've forgotten about that love that you had for me at the beginning of your walk with me. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That is a severe word. That is a severe word. That's not the kindness of Jesus. That's the severity that he's calling us to repent. If he has strategically placed us as a lampstand, and each one of us is an individual lampstand in that equation, and we have something we're not dealing with that we need to deal with, if we don't deal with it, he says, I'm going to remove your lampstand. And I'll just say this as the senior pastor here, I don't want anybody's lampstand to be removed. I don't want mine to be removed. I said this in class today. We talked about this a little in class today. A question I posed, actually, it's a question I ask of myself, and I want each one of us to ask this question of ourselves. But I'm asking this as senior pastor here. Is there something in me that is limiting or impeding how brightly or how dimly the light on my lampstand is shining? Because if there is, remove it. As Pastor Shane said a couple of times last week, cut me, cut me. Take that sword of your spirit and cut me and remove it, because I don't want to be the reason that we're not fully functioning in the way he has strategically placed us to function. If I'm interrupting that or impeding that, or there's something in my life that's in the way of that, remove it. Remove it. And we can see from this word, if you do not repent, I will come and remove it. There's an immediate judgment there. Immediate judgment there. And so when we hear a message like that, I felt like it was like a pivotal moment in the life of Abundant Life Fellowship. Like he's saying, turn the page, turn the corner, throw off everything that's hindering you. so that you can shine. This isn't just for us personally. It's to affect the world. We have a part in affecting a lost and dying world. On the way down here this morning, there was a song on my mind. It's a worship song we sing here, and it just says, when you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, but nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Talks about Jesus. It's when he walks into a room. But you know what? Jesus lives in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. When Ashley walks in the room because Jesus lives inside of her, darkness starts to tremble. She's got a light on a lampstand. We're not Jesus. We're not pretending we are. But when he comes inside to live inside of us, he comes to change us, to transform us. And he does it. We just have to cooperate with him. Change me, Lord. Cut me. Remove from me anything that doesn't belong here. Pastor Shane read this passage last week. I'm sharing it again today. Simple passage, one we all know. You're the light of the world, Matthew 5:14-16. You're the light of the world. Town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a light on a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So your light on your lampstand, part of the greater whole, greater body, part of the greater body, but your light on your lampstand is intended, and ours as an entire body, sitting up here on this little hill in New Waterford, is intended that what as we serve him, as we honor him, as we give him praise, as we do what we're supposed to do, pay attention to our assignments, that others may see it and glorify him. It's all to bring him glory. It's all to bring him glory. That's both personal and it's both corporate. Both things. And if you're part of the whole, you're part of the equation. This isn't an assignment limited to the four of us who are pastors. It's not limited to those who are Sunday school teachers. It's for every one of us to shine light, and we want that light to not be dimmed in any way. Mark's version of this, the Gospel of Mark's version of this says this. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. And I will put this out here for you, that as you are shining light at its optimal level wherever you go, that darkness that may be around you will be exposed. We talked a little bit about this in class today. Why is it at times that someone will just start spilling their guts to you? So I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I've had more people testify of these sort of things happening in this day, where all of a sudden somebody out there at a grocery store or in a school or at a sporting event or wherever it may be will just start coming up to God's people and saying, I don't know why I want to talk to you. I don't know why I'm telling you this personal thing that's going on with me. I don't know why. Well, we heard in class today, somebody coming up to somebody just randomly, will you pray for me? Not even knowing she was a believer. This stuff's happening all over the place. It's because we're being strategically placed as a lampstand. And when that happens, what's hidden is being brought out into the light without any sort of action of man. It's orchestrated by Holy Spirit. So your light and how brightly you shine matters. It matters. And the reality is, we'll never really know. I mean, I don't look in the mirror and say, boy, you're shining bright today, Jeff. No, Connie does not say that to me. She said Connie says that to me. She doesn't necessarily say, she might say, you're looking good. No. Which I'll take any day from my wife. But no, we don't necessarily see it. I was reminded in class today, and I said this in class today. So when Lori Kibbe went to El Salvador this year on a mission trip, and one of the things she said about this trip, it wasn't necessarily anything, there was no opportunities for people necessarily to share the gospel. It was a help ministry where they were dealing with people with eye problems. But one of the things they said to her, and this is how people who necessarily don't know Jesus or don't know how to explain why they can look at you and see something, they said, you have an energy about you. You have an energy about you. Well, that energy was the energy of Jesus. It was the light of Jesus. She went to El Salvador as a representation of a lampstand that is Abundant Life Fellowship, but also her own walk with Jesus. And because of that, somebody noticed something about her and said, we have a situation over here that needs prayer, and for whatever reason, we think you can pray in this situation where nobody else, she said that actually was nobody else in there that would actually go with her to pray, because they didn't have the faith that she had, the faith to pray for this particular person with a very difficult diagnosis. But it was something somebody looked at her and saw. It was tangible. And it is tangible. It can be tangible in every one of us. If we're responding to both the kindness of Jesus and the severity of Jesus. If we're responding to the Jesus who says, come and sit on my lap. But while we're on his lap, he may say, I got a little issue with that I want to point out to you, my son or my daughter. Sorry, I'm looking at you too, because you're right here. But he's that personal with us. He loves us that much to show us his kindness, but also say, let's work on this thing that you keep holding on to for whatever reason when you don't have to. The brighter each of us shines, the brighter the lampstand that is Abundant Life Fellowship will shine, bringing hidden things into the open. Into the open. Footnote here. This is a footnote in the passage. Jesus intended that the disciples make the truths known as widely as possible. Our word this year is the voice of truth, the roar, and the whisper. So he wants to make his truth known as widely as possible, which means shining our light to have it as far a reach as it can possibly be, to affect as many people as it can possibly do. It matters. Another footnote referenced Jeremiah 16:17, which says this, my eyes are on all their ways. This is another kind of a warning scripture for us. My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes. So if we weren't dealing with a severity that was brought forth last week, here's another reminder that we're not keeping anything hidden from the Creator of the universe. So we may as well just deal with it. We may as well just let him deal with it. We may as well just say, forgive me, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I can't overcome this besetting sin on my own. I can't deal with this on my own. I need you. Here's a version of the same passage from Luke 11. No one lights a lamp and puts it under in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Can't see that as well on that version. When your eyes are healthy, When your eyes are, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. It's like taking a spotlight and just shining it right on you. It's the same way it says, if light has filled our entire body, as light has filled. So when it talks about the healthy eyes, my immediate thought was, man, what do we let our eyes see that darkens, our effectiveness? Side note, I went to an eye doctor this week for the first time in 17 years. I am currently wearing contacts that were prescribed to me in 1981. Before you were born. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. No, I went to an eye doctor 17 years ago. Yeah, I went to an eye doctor 17 years ago because I hadn't been to one for a little while, and my wife kept saying, you probably shouldn't be wearing these same contacts. And so 17 years ago, I went to an eye doctor, and Connie was so mad when I came home, and because the doctor had said, I'm not taking you out of these. You wear them well. That was 17 years ago. So finally, I went to another eye doctor this week, and I am getting new contacts. Huh? Just slightly, a slightly new prescription. But they're still hard contacts. They're still going to be hard contacts. But anyway, my point of all that was, this just caught my attention. It's the side note. It's a little more of a side note, I guess. But the doctor said, you have healthy eyes. You have healthy eyes. And so when I read this verse that talked about healthy eyes, and I don't know what the physical diagnosis from a doctor has anything to do with, but I was like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Help me to see with spirit eyes, with my healthy physical eyes. Help me to keep seeing. Because if your whole body is full of light, no part of it dark, it will be just as a full light when a lamp shines on you. And one of the things that I, we're not wrapping up yet, but one of the things that I want us to pray for, and I want each one of us to pray this, is that I want each one of us to be able to say, Lord, shine your lamp on me so fully that anything that shouldn't be there just gets exposed so that I can't hide from it anymore. Shine that brightly. Just put that spotlight of your Holy Spirit on my heart and on my mind that nothing can stay hidden, that we somehow think we're hiding from you, but we're not. Let us be that transparent. So in Hebrews 12, we read this in class today. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's the reference to the people mentioned in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Cut us, Jesus, cut us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, doing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, light will shine into them and then out of them. It's why when some of the disciples and some of God's people, Jesus' people that were with him after he died and was resurrected, and they met with him and they then left him, and they were walking along, and people said, these people have been with Jesus. These people have been with Jesus. That's who we get to be in this culture, in this time, with the light on our lampstand strategically placed, where people will say, as Trishel and Trevor go to Germany, as they go to Germany, that they're going to be positioned, strategically placed as lampstands, that people will look at them and say, there's something about you that's not normal. So then there's this passage in Philippians which talks about a common problem, grumbling, arguing, where Paul tells the church at Philippi, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That seems like a pretty strong rebuke about something as common as grumbling and arguing. Anybody ever grumbled or argued? We probably, you know, we all have. We all know that. Never. Lindsay's the only one. And if you know, Lindsay, that's a big lie. Gong. But he brings this out that if you go on doing so, fill in the blank, like whatever else. I mean, if that's a problem, you know, there's lots of other things that are probably even bigger problems. But he says, deal with this so that you can live blameless and pure in the spotlight of your lampstand, in the spotlight of our lampstand, Abundant Life Fellowship. That shines to a warped and crooked generation. Why? So that they can see there's a better way. There's a better way. Because then he goes on to say this, if you do this, then you will shine among them. You'll shine among a warped and crooked generation like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then you'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. This is a warning that Paul is giving to the church at Philippi, but it is very much a warning for the people of Abundant Life Fellowship today. And not just a warning, but actually a word of encouragement. It's a word of encouragement because he wants to use us. He wants to use us. We look differently than the world looks. When Jesus was first calling his first disciples, he gives them some instructions and he tells them that I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. So as we're going out, as he's sending us out into the world, we might understand that there's some ferocious wolves that might want to eat us. But he says this, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Innocent as doves, which cut me, Lord, remove anything that mars my innocence. Be on guard. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. So do not be afraid of them, For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the rooftops. So again, the influence that he wants us as a light on a lampstand to have wherever it is that we happen to be. At any given time, in any given day. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. And here's what it says. And it's talking about, it says at that time we're talking about the return of Jesus. The return of Jesus. And let me say this before I even get to this passage. Everything that is unfolding in this day is to prepare a bride, us, for the return of Jesus. Everything. Everything. That day is coming. I don't know when. But he wants his people to be positioned, ready to shine light. And so he gives this parable. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. I mean, that sounds obvious even to me. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. I'll come back to that. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us, both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." So, this verse also came up in open door class today as we were talking about some of this. And the whole idea of trimming your lamps, when they got up, they heard the call, come out to meet him. They trimmed their lamps. And something about trimming your lamp, one of the things I studied a little bit with this as I read that, was the lamps were kind of, at that day, were like torches, and they likely had rags in these torches that were in the oil. And so when they trimmed their lamps, they actually had to cut off this charred end of a burnt rag. So that there'd be more room for more oil. Because most of us have all seen a fire, and there's charred remains that stay, but they had to trim their lamps so that there'd be more room for more oil. And trimming your lamps meant that the light was going to be a little brighter, it was going to be more clear. And as I was thinking about this, I wrote this in my notes the one day, and I was driving, I believe, to the office. It may have been Thursday or Friday. And we have a wood burner in our family room. Anybody has a wood burner will know a little bit about this. But in the wood burner, there is, they put the wood in the rack, in a grated rack that's in there. And underneath that is a tray. And from time to time, as you're adding more wood, there's a lever you compress to kind of shake the ashes that are there into this tray. And every once in a while, probably more often than I do, you pull the tray out and you empty it. Because there's a blower in that wood burner that blows from the bottom. And if that tray is full of ashes, air circulation in that blower is not going to be at its optimal level. Holy Spirit showed me this simple example of why having things operating at their optimal level produces the best result. So if we don't trim our wicks, if we don't trim the char, the residue of life perhaps, the lingering effects sometimes of undealt with sin, if we don't clean out the ash tray and all this stuff remains, and Holy Spirit wants to blow some important revelation into our life, but it gets blocked because it can't get through the grime. It won't work properly. It won't work properly. In a simple wood burner, it creates potentially a fire hazard. Because stuff can't flow. Well, it's the same with us. It's the same with us. If there's something dimming our light, if we never take the time to deal with the things we need to deal with, praise team can come if they're not already here. If we don't take the time, if we just, I'm okay. If we neglect the depth of how much we need Him, and just assume, well, I don't need to hang out with you today, Jesus, because I did that yesterday. And I'm not talking about any sort of legalistic thing. I'm not talking about some legal thing that says, oh gosh, you better do this or you're going to die. I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about actually about the very opposite, freedom. I'm talking about the very opposite, which is freedom. I hang out with Jesus because I love Him, because He forgave me. I hang out with Jesus because I love to hang out with Him, because He changed my mind. He gave me a new heart in a couple of ways. Oh, yeah. Oh, she's absolutely right. The longer you leave those ashes and then they become compact, it's harder to remove. They kind of stick together. It almost becomes almost like a hard, can't be like a hardened rock. A hardened rock. Link that to a hardened heart. So the longer we deal with unresolved issues and don't let the severity of Jesus cut it out, the less impact we have to be the strategically placed lampstand that He has called us to be. Well, and this last line there should really shake us up. I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't want any one of us to ever hear those words from our Savior. I don't want any of us to even risk in any way hearing those words. So blessed by Josh's words to us today, because he encapsulated in that very brief and curt word of encouragement things he had no idea that I was going to say, no idea where I was going with this message, no idea that three children were down here this morning modeling for us what it means to worship with no restraints. Yet we as adults sometimes put restraints on us, say, well, I don't want to look foolish. Yet I think sometimes we miss when we enter into worship as we were doing this morning, as we allow ourselves to go there, what all he is doing inside of us to say, I'm responding to your worship today, Jeanette, and your light is going to shine even brighter today because of your submission to me. He responds to how we respond. He said, okay, well, you want to just stand there and cross your arms, you know. Yeah. That's fine, but you're not going to shine as bright because I want you to come right up close in my presence and allow yourself to perhaps worship me as David did, undignified. Now, don't take your clothes off in here, please. But worrying about what someone may say or what somebody may think or what... It's a chain. It's a chain, and he wants to break it. I stand here today and say, I understand not everybody's going to worship the same. Not everybody's going to... We're all built differently, and I get that. But he wants every one of us to worship him. Whatever that looks like. To come up close to him. Whatever that looks like. Because it's in those moments that he does something that's hard to explain. It's hard to exactly teach. Except to say, do it. And you'll find out. This is an extremely exciting time for the body of Christ. And if you haven't been grafted in, as Pastor Shane talked about last week, if you haven't been grafted in, if you haven't allowed him to cut you, to graft you in, well, today's another day for you to say yes. You just say, I'm done fighting, I'm done arguing with you, Jesus. Or I don't even know who you are, but this sounds really good to me. This is both a personal and a corporate word. It's personal in that each one of you gets to shine light. I was thinking about our Christmas Eve service every year. There's a time in our Christmas Eve service where everybody has a candle in their hand. And I think in more recent years, we now have battery-operated ones. Is that correct? We used to have the ones that we lit on fire. Do we still have the light? We still have the, okay. But there's times, I can't remember. There's times when, as we're looking around, oh, it's a beautiful sight. If you've not seen it, it's a beautiful sight around this room when it's just completely candlelit. But there's times every once in a while where, for whatever reason, some wick isn't burning as well as it should. And so when you look in the picture, you say, oh, I can't tell who that person is because it's not quite as bright. I want every one of us to have a light that is shining so brightly that the world cannot deny who we stand for, who we represent. The world cannot deny the love of Jesus because they see it in you. The world cannot deny the grace of Jesus because they see it in you. because you've received grace and you give it away. The light that each one of us gets to bring. And that we recognize that He, Holy Spirit, has strategically placed each one of us. This isn't a man thing. This isn't a man orchestrated thing. This is Holy Spirit only, orchestrated, Holy Spirit fueled only. So that He gets all praise. Let's stand. I will reiterate what Pastor Shane said last week. If you need to hang out with him a little bit and say, Lord, search me, find in me anything, any wicked way in me, remove it, cut me, cut me, cut me, do it today, do it today. If you don't see yourself as part of the greater whole, you don't see yourself as a lampstand for whatever reason, ask Him about it. Ask someone to pray with you to say, I want to be able to visualize myself as being part of the whole. Maybe you're in this room and as many people in their life have experienced at some point say, I just don't fit. Everybody has a place to fit in the body of Christ. You don't have to look like anybody else. You don't have to do the same things that everybody else does. Can I get a microphone? Because Sherry had a word that she wanted to share. Can I get a... And I believe everything that she only told me briefly what it was, but it goes along with this very word. I don't know exactly whether she saw this during worship today or saw it ahead of time.
So this morning, I was in the prayer room, and we were praying, and I just looked outside, which I tend to do, out the window, and I saw sheep, as far as I could see sheep. Now, that was a prior word given to this church years ago, but there were so many sheep, and they were so excited. They were like even almost jumping over each other, trying to come in. And I'm like, whoa. And the Lord said that these are the people that I'm sending your way.
Yes.
You have been faithful and you have been praying, pressing in, letting me fill you. And He said that they're coming hungry. And He said to prepare because they're going to come all of a sudden.
Yes.
And He wants all of them nourished and taken care of. And so that was mainly what He showed me. And then I have a scripture that He told me to read. So this is Revelations 5, and I'm not going to read it all. It's all good. Go home and read it. Because you were slaughtered, Jesus, for us, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Your blood was a price paid to redeem us. You purchased us to bring us to God. And out of every tribe, language, and people group and nation, you have chosen us to serve our God. And formed us into a kingdom of priests who will reign on this earth. And I heard Him say, it's time to reign. And then as we were singing, oh, how we love you, Jesus. Oh, how we adore you. He says, oh, how I love you, my bride. Oh, how I adore you.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Yep. Yeah, so those sheep that are jumping over one another trying to get in, those are the sheep that maybe we don't have even met yet. But as you let your light shine, as you let your light shine, I mean, look around the room. The room's not empty by any means. People are coming, but this is just a snippet of what He has in store for us. So you respond however Holy Spirit's responding. There's people here that can pray with you and will pray with you. If you just want to come and kneel and enjoy His presence, come and do so. Father, I just thank You so much. Thank You so much for our worship team today, just for these vessels that just led us into places in Your presence that was rich. I thank You for orchestrating everything from this day, from those children that just modeled for at least for me today and maybe some others, just what unadulterated worship looks like, unrestrained, how pure it was, and how pure their light was. There was nothing hindering the light on their lampstand as they just worshiped You without worrying about who saw them, not putting on a show, but just giving You their praise. So I pray this today for all of us, that we will be shining at the optimal level of brightness to affect those around us wherever we go this week. I pray for the divine appointments that You have for everyone in this room, that as they live out their life for You this week, intentionally giving You their praise, intentionally acknowledging You in all of their ways, that there'll be conversations that only You could have orchestrated. There'll be things disclosed, brought out into the open, that just happen because Your people are out living life for the kingdom. So I praise You, give You all glory for all that You're doing. Say, Lord, keep having Your way, keep having Your way, keep having Your way in all that we do and all that we say. Amen.